This message titled, I Am Drought Proof, is from 1 Kings chapter 17, where God provides for Prophet Elijah and the widow. Pastor highlights four things from these verses to be drought proof.
Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight I want you to open your Bibles to the first book of Kings, the 17th chapter. Amen. And verses 5 to verse 11.
So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.
Amen. How many of you thank God for his word? Hallelujah. And the verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me there of a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to title the message, I am drought proof. Amen. It doesn't matter what the economic policies of a nation are, whichever nation you are from, listening to me tonight. Who isn't the presidency of that land? It doesn't matter when you hear about wars and battles. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. You and me, as the children of God, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, we are drought proof. We know the story, 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet Elijah is going into the palace of Ahab, the king, and saying to him, Because you have sinned against the Lord is going to shut the heavens. There shall be no more. 1 Kings chapter 17. It says there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. See the boldness of the prophet to go and say to the king, At my word, there shall be no more dew, there shall be no more rain in the land. The moment he says that, the clouds disappear. The moisture in the air disappears. Suddenly everyone in the king's palace, including the king, is having chapped lips. Everything is dried up. In a moment, the word of God is fulfilled. In a moment. It only takes a moment in the word of the Lord to change your situation. Glory to God. Even tonight, let the word of God come across to your life to deliver you, to heal you, to set you free, to resurrect you for the glory of God. Amen. A Holy Ghost moment for the prophet. And he utters things in the spirit. And there is a drought in the land. And then God leads this prophet to a hideout, a brook, Brook Kereth, where the word of the Lord says, the ravens in the field began to bring him food in the morning and in the evening. That's the Zomato, the Uber Eats, the Swiggy of that time. The ravens are bringing in what the prophet wants. See, everything is scriptural. Don't forget to order your food tonight out by Swiggy. They're giving us a discount today for preaching and... Just joking. Ravens are feeding him. But can you imagine the prophet? The prophet has prophesied himself into a drought. I do not know how many of you are servants of God or prophets out there listening to me, but new levels always means new devils. New levels always need new faith. Sometimes you preach about prophetic word about soaring, and it almost looks like your wings are clipped. You speak about something prophetically, and you yourself are caught in it. See, every new season demands new trust. When you think about going up or soaring high, and you wonder what is happening, suddenly your friends are leaving you. There is confusion among your friend circles. Let me tell you, certain people you cannot take up into the next level. It is God fulfilling a prophecy over your life. Every new level demands new sacrifices, new ideas, new grace, new fresh anointing, fresh visitation from God. Here the prophet has prophesied something, and he is himself in a drought. I do not know how many of you have gone through that. Sometimes you have more vision than the provision. You are absolutely grateful to God for everything that God does, but you're still not content because, you know, you have prophesied, you believed in certain things from God. And you have more worship teams in the church than stages available for them. See, you prophesied yourself into a problem, Elijah. You believe God for something, you've set it out, and so there's a problem because of that. You yourself are stuck in that. That is why daily you need to feed of God's word to make sure that your faith level comes up, that you learn to depend on God. That word Kereth, you know, I would say go to Kereth Valley University. God sends you to that university. That word Kereth means cutting. God prepares you for service. You prophesied it. There are certain things that are cut away from your life. In John 15, Jesus said, you know, the branches that bear fruit, he prunes, he cuts it, that might bear more fruit for your next level. Sometimes God sent you to that place of solitude where you are alone. Cut away from everything. From everyone that you know, alone. Glory to God. Anybody in that place tonight? It is just the beginning of a new season. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is sensitizing your spirit to take you to a next level of His grace and anointing. God is making you drought proof. He's preparing you. Four things that I want to highlight from that scripture that we read. One, You are a part of God's story. Look at somebody and say, I'm a part of God's story. It is just not Elijah alone, but the woman is also a part of this story. A widow in Sarephath. God spoke to Elijah, but God also spoke to that woman or that widow of Sarephath. See, the ninth was, arise, get thee to Sarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Sometimes you think God only speaks to the pastor, God only speaks to the prophet, but God speaks to every one of his children. A stranger's voice they will not hear, but they will know the voice of the shepherd. My sheep know my voice. You are a part of God's story. Maybe you just tuned in because there's a nice girl's worshiping, and you just like to see something beautiful. But there's a part that God wants you to play in his kingdom. Maybe you just like the preacher. He encourages you. But there's a part that God wants you to play in his kingdom. Sometimes you walk into a church because there is nice good music, or because they don't take an offering. Glory to God. You feel comfortable. But there is a purpose of God for your life. Ordinary people like Elijah has to partner with an ordinary woman, a widow, to fulfill what God wants to do. Are you with me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a partnership. It is us both together ministering forth for the glory of God. A church can only fulfill the purpose that God has got for the church across the city or the world when the pastor and the people take their calling seriously. Sometimes you want just the preachers and people who stand on the stage to be, you know, holy and dedicated and prayerful and all that. And then you want to kind of party around and then come once in a while to church and sit there. It doesn't happen that way. You are a part of God's story. You are an answer to the call of God in somebody's life. Haven't you seen that sometimes people come to church and say, oh, this is what I was looking for. Sometimes people accidentally get onto the YouTube and find a message and say, oh, this is God speaking to me. In that famine, during the drought season, Sarephath needed a prophet, and the prophet needed a widow. The widow, the woman, needed the prophet to sustain her in that famine. But the prophet also needed her faith. If you are called into the church here in Kochi, in the Cornerstone, the Joshua Generation Ministries, I need you. And you need me. If you are not called into this vision or into this church, you don't need me, and I don't need you either. Are you with me? I play no part in your life if you are not called into this vision. God, in His wisdom, He connects people, brings people together. And when you come into the house of God, you realize you are also a part of God's story. Look at the New Testament, the Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 17. Romans, Philippians chapter 4, verse 17.
Not because I desire...
Verse 15 onwards. Forget it, we don't have time for all that. But look at the 17th. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound in your account. See, it is speaking about receiving and giving, and he says, listen, there's a part that you play, there's a part that I play. And Paul, look at his audacity, he's saying, listen, I don't want anything. Are you with me? But I want fruit to come into your account. This is a partnership. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoever preaches, ministers, when souls are saved, if you have played a part in praying, in interceding, in giving, in releasing your faith, in standing together, let me tell you, it will be credited to your account also. God watches over it. Somebody is healed, somebody is set free, somebody is delivered, somebody is saved, and you have no clue about it. Can you imagine that? Last week I was in a place in Middle East. And I had the joy of leading, I can't name, but you know, somebody to the Lord. And then I thought about it. Hey, that's going to be credited to somebody's account. In Kochi, who has never moved in or seen that place. Or you travel around the world and you preach and somebody gets saved. I mean, do you know that you have cousins in America who are saved through this ministry? You have second cousins and third cousins in Africa. Glory to God. You have sisters and siblings up in Middle East. Glory to God. Some of your elder brothers are there in North India. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The body of Jesus Christ is one. We are together. You play a part, I play a part, but we are together. God needs the Elijahs, but so does God needs the widows of Zarephath. Amen. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
The second thing that I want to highlight from that scripture is, this is not the end. The 12th verse. And she said, the widow, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat it and die. She's getting ready to die. She feels hopeless. Hope is the positive expectation of something good. Hope, that's what hope is. Positively expecting something good. Hopelessness is, yesterday was better, tomorrow will be worse. That's hopelessness. My best days are behind me. I don't think there is anything more to look forward into. That is hopelessness. All that she could think of is eat, and I and my child were going to die. Every negative emotion that you feel about your future is not from God. Every negative emotion, I repeat it again, that you feel about your future is not from God. The fear of what could happen is from the enemy. What could go wrong, possibly go wrong? That fear that grips your mind is never from God. It's from the enemy. And you know the devil is a liar. This widow and her son, they're feeling hopeless. We're going to die. Just die. The devil uses what is called unholy guesses. Unholy guesses is what the enemy throws at you. You know, life is getting worse. You're getting old. What are you going to do about it? A thought? And then he wants you to act on that fear. Oh, it's not going to be better. Guess what? This is the end of your life. The sickness will kill you. You believe that? You've made too many mistakes, done too many things wrong. Look, everybody else is going ahead in life. Looks like you're finished. That doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. That comes from a different spirit. We call it the lying spirit. We call it the devil. In Jesus' name, may you be free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't know your future. God knows your future. And if you know the Bible, you will know the future a little bit. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. We know that scripture, don't we? We put that on the magnetic impression of that scripture on our fridge. Maybe put it on our wall. Maybe it's on the front of our phone. I alone know the plans for you, the plans for a future with prosperity, blessing and hope. Do you believe that? It's become so common to know that scripture, you actually don't believe it. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, David said. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. When I come back, I will come and take you to where I am. See, your future is good. Jesus is preparing things for you. Jesus already sent a prophet to your home. Jesus already sent his word across into your life. And in your mind, you're thinking about, I am finished. My family is over. My child and me, we are going to die. We have come to the end of the rope. We have held on as long as possible. Look at somebody and say, your future is good. Your future is very, 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 very good. Amen. Your future is good. If it is not good so far, God is not done yet with your life. Glory to God. Lift your hand and say, Jesus, hallelujah. You are so good, God. God is so good. Lord, you are so good, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you got good things for my life. God is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good.
Sound that saved a rest like me. I watched the Yes, I take him now. I'll praise him now. I'll praise him now. I'll praise him now. Yes, I'll praise him now. I'll thank him now. I'll thank him now.
Tonight, just know that God is good and He's got good plans about you. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans for a future with prosperity, blessing, and hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, it's not the end. Say to yourself, it's not the end of my life. Glory to God. God has got plans about me. Amen. So the third thing that I want to highlight from that scripture is, do the ridiculous and see the miraculous. The prophet is saying in the 13th verse,
and Elijah said unto her,
fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Can you imagine that? She says, I want to eat and die. The prophet says, okay, you want to do that? You do that. But first, what a prophet. Ma. Glory to God. She's saying, I want to die. You die if you want. But before you die, the little food that you have, first, see, look at that. Make me there of a little cake first. Amen. She says, I want to eat and die. Do that if you want, but can you make me a cake first? Do something before you die that's nice and good. Make me a cake first. Have you seen that in family life? Sometimes the wife says, I love you very much. And the husband says, okay, that's good. Can you get me a cup of coffee? Hallelujah. But first, God is not my last resort, but my first response. Amen. You have to learn to bring God into that situation. First, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. First, even tithing, it is not that, you know, you get your salary or whatever in your hand and then you spend all that you have and then let's see if there is anything remaining to give to God. No, even the tithe, which is 10%, has to be given first. It's not, you know, I'm sure I'll give, but that's not my first thing. This is what I do. Are you with me? On the first day of the week, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, bring in what you have to give to God. Bring the first day of the week, just bring in. First. The prophet could have said, okay, you make me a cake first. Cut it into three and let me have a piece. It looks more Christian, no? That poor woman is going to die. She and her son is also not eaten. See, can you imagine that? First, I mean, look at that woman. I mean, the woman knows who this man of God is. He's a prophet who calls down fire. If she didn't know who he was, she would have most probably said, get out of my house, you punk. I just told you I'm in a difficult situation and you just say, make me a cake first. But she knows if she says that, most probably she and her son will become French fries. Fire is going to fall from heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So she says, okay, man of God, okay. Cake, you want me to make you a cake? She's starving, she's hungry. You want me to cake, make you a cake? Okay, cake you will have. She takes the flour. She takes the flour that she's got, makes dough with it, puts a little bit of oil, trying to make, puts it into the oven. She turns back and there is flour again. She takes it, puts the oil, it's to make dough. Out of it, puts into the oven, turns back, there is flour again, there is oil again. She again makes out of it, puts it in, turns back. Ridiculous faith when you obey God. When you obey his word, when you do things first, what God says, your miracle will happen. Your miracle will happen. You will become drought proof. Things will begin to replenish by itself. Things will begin to grow by itself. The drought didn't vanish. The famine is not ended. But she is sustained. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's the same pay scale, same job, but you're sustained because of your obedience unto God. Glory to God. Your ridiculous faith and obedience unto God's word will sustain you in drought. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Look at that scripture, 1 Kings 17. It says there, the 15th verse, the 14th verse. And for thus saith the Lord, the 15th verse, and she went out according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Not only, another version says, not only she and her son, but her entire household. Your, her uncle, her aunt, her grandmother, you know, first cousins, second cousins, third cousins, cousins' cousins, friends of cousins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you have family like that? Glory to God. Everybody showed up. Glory to God. Not just she, but the entire family was sustained in that drought. May that be your story. Glory to God. Not only will you keep your family alive, but your larger family, you will be a blessing unto many. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even to your third cousins and fourth cousins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All through the doubt, she and her family were drought proof. Look at somebody and say, I'm drought proof. Amen. Hallelujah. She obeyed. Are you with me? She just didn't have just good intention. Most people don't obey, they just have good intention. Pastor, you know me. Yeah. See, every time in the Bible, when you look at scriptures, you will find that every time somebody asked God for a miracle, God gave them an instruction. It's when they obeyed that instruction, the miracle happened. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the word the Holy Spirit of God said to release forth. You and me are drought proof by the grace of God. By the goodness of God, the ridiculous faith that you have in God and in His Word will bring miraculous testimonies in your life. There is somebody who's watching me. You got a problem with your hair. You've been losing clumps of hair. Well, I was in prayer. What the Lord showed me was, it is almost like as if it is demonic. It's just not natural hair loss I'm speaking about. Clumps of hair are coming off from your head. It's almost like there's a satanic attack against your hair. Clumps of hair. Jesus setting you free. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be free in the name of the Lord from that affliction. May your hair be restored back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus.